The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, prideofdetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. You know where to find us. Wrapping up another week of NFL football, of Detroit Lions football, as we sit here in the aftermath of the great reunion, the reunion in both ways of Stafford and the Lions, of Jared Goff and Sean McVay. One worked out better than the other, and but I think this was a very interesting game for a lot of different reasons, and very soon we shall break it all down. But first, I am Chris Perfett, your adequate host, at Chris Perfett on Twitter, P-E-R-F-E-T-T, and our fearless leader, Jeremy Reisman, is on location. He is not here, so we do not have him, so I'm going duo with the main man, Ryan Matthews, at Ryan_POD. Ryan, how are we feeling in the aftermath of this one?
I don't know which way to go, Chris. I don't know which way to go. I think what we'll do during this podcast is we'll have an opportunity to take a look at some of the good, some of the insane, some of the trickery that Dan Campbell was up to today that I caught everybody off guard all the time. Overall, I would say that this is another, you know, they gave it their best shot and they gave it an honest effort and they just came up short again.
Yep. You take the good, you take the bad, you take it all. And there you have the facts of life and there you have the POD cast.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's what we're going to do here. And this is a very interesting one for a lot of reasons, mostly because I don't think anyone expected the Lions to really be. I didn't expect the Lions to be this skin close to it. I know it was the trendy pick from some national people to be like, ooh, the Lions, this is where they play with heart and maybe pull out a win here. And they were half right. So I'll give it to the national guys on that. There was a lot of heart. There was a lot of fire. And it just comes up short because of our usual thanks to our usual suspect. But there's plenty of chances where the Lions could have just put this one away and just didn't. And I think injuries later on the game, AJ Parker going out, and you could see that they took advantage of Daryl Worley, the Rams did, to make things move. But we'll try to break it all down. But first, I want to start at the beginning of the game. We'll kind of go a little timeline wise, but I've never been more excited than those first 10 minutes of the game where the ball didn't even touch Stafford's hand. And we're going to talk about Stafford, trust me, but I think I want to save the love fest for a little later. Can we talk about those first 10 minutes? Can we talk about fake punts and onside kicks?
And more fake punts?
And more fake punts?
that happened after the half? Yeah, no.
We went full trickeration on this. This was Dan Campbell. I think Dan Campbell realized the scope of this game. It's like, why not? Why not become the Joker?
Why not try to employ the best defensive tactic you can against the Los Angeles Rams and try to keep Matthew Stafford from, you know, getting on the field?
What was the time of possession? It was like something like 10 minutes in the first quarter.
there was a lot of possession that the Lions had in that first half and in that first quarter. I know it ended up being 32-40 to 27-20. So, you know, the Lions did win that battle. But yeah, I think large in part, there was a lot of possession that the Lions had in the first half. And, you know, I think that trickeration, it had to have been part of the game plan. Like, let's try to keep the ball out of Matthew Stafford's hands. You know, our defense is banged up. Their offense is humming along. Let's try to be a little strategic about it. And kudos to Dan Campbell.
It worked. I think they realized part of the game planning is like, look, this isn't the Rams defense of last year. They've got some holes, and they're, I feel like they're, especially on special teams, they were a little weak. So like they knew where the holes were on the Rams, and you could see it later in the game when they started to really try to grind the ball on the ground. Like, yeah, the plan was win time of possession, keep Stafford off the field, exploit what weaknesses you can find that Rams defense. And right up until almost the penultimate Lions drive, that worked. That worked, and they were in line for a touchdown in the end. But we'll talk about Jared Goff in a bit. But that was exciting. I didn't think an onside kick still worked in the NFL.
Yeah. How about you want to talk about more things that worked, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one other thing that worked, I thought, large in part, aside from a personnel choice on a certain 4th and 1, where DeAndre Swift gets the ball up the middle. I thought the Lions did a fantastic job of trying to establish the run and run the football. You know, 137 yards on 28 attempts for 4.9 yards a carry. They had 7 first downs rushing the football. I think for a team that I think that Rams defense had to know that that's what the Lions wanted to do early on, and they did it rather well, I think, throughout the course of the game. And shout out CJ Moore with a rush for 28 yards.
Yeah, and I really want to highlight DeAndre Swift. Again, I didn't think he needed to be used up the middle. That is Jamal Williams' territory, and he's good at it. But yeah. Swift, if people have not understood what Swift brings to the table, they will understand after this game. He was on fire this game. He was like made. Khalif Raymond had the more receiving yards, which good on Khalif Raymond. There was some, both Swift and Raymond. There is a theme.
Made some tough catches.
Khalif Raymond. Swift and Raymond tough catches. Both have a theme connecting the two of them. And I'll get to that in a second, but Swift 96 yards. And a lot of that's still yards after completion. Like that's technically ground. It's like those basically don't become rushing attempts just because it's a dump off or a screen Swift is a big reason why this offense made the moves that it did to get to first downs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I'm looking at with DeAndre Swift too is there's enough there that they can find that balance between him and Williams. It's just that there's sometimes, I don't know, there's sometimes when the ball needs to be in Jamal Williams' hands and he needs to get some more opportunities. And I think what the Lions were able to do today, large in part on offense, was because of what they had in Swift and what they had in Williams. I mean, Williams had, you know, 12 carries for 57 yards. Those are probably the hardest 57 yards I've seen anybody run for this year for the Lions. I mean, that was some true hard nose running by Jamal Williams. And, you know, I think we talked about it when we talked about the comments that Brandon Staley made, but like when you can run the football like that, other teams have to be physical. They have to get off blocks. They have to make tackles. And you would hope that that would open up more opportunities in the passing game. And, you know, I don't know. Do we get to Jared Goff now or do we wait for Jared Goff?
So later? The one thing I wanted to tie the two, Khalif Raymond and DeAndre Swift together is also probably the damnation on Jared Goff, is that the two things tying Khalif Raymond and DeAndre Swift together, which is which is 210 yards of your passing offense. How much of that came on yards after completion? The answer is a lot. There was a couple of deep now. Jared Goff made a couple of deep throws. Yes. But there was also quite a bit of that where like his box score got inflated by a lot of yak. So yeah, that's going to be the first thing. And that's going to make it hard for people who are just box score readers to try to like see the problems with Goff.
Yeah. And I don't think you can escape the other two glaring issues. And it's, I mean, the last interception, whatever, the game's, you know, well without reach. There's
oh yeah, sure. And it's a tipped, whatever. Yeah. But it's the one that broke the game. Like, as I said, the Lions were in the red zone, ready to take the lead. And what happens, Ryan?
It's just, so it's a combination of things, right? Like Jonah Jackson, watching that play, Jonah Jackson gets beat bad. And I think that's just a chance where Jared Goff has to say, all right, I'm going to take my lump here and I'm just going to, I mean, at this point, the Lions are down six, right? Down six. It's, you know, they're in the red zone. Like you said, it's second and 10. They're on the Rams 12. Live to see a third down instead of trying to force that ball into TJ Hockenson that Ramsey just grabs and, you know, runs the opposite direction, and watching him run out of bounds right by Dan Campbell and kind of point to him. I was like, Jared Goff again, golfing his way to, you know, potentially costing the Lions an opportunity to, I mean, because kudos to another player, Seibert, four field goals.
Austin's, yeah, Seibert did well
on all of his attempts.
The thing with Goff is like, there was a middle part of this game where Goff was fine. Like, he wasn't great, but he was doing everything that was pretty much asked of him. I mean, there was a start of the game where, I mean, I don't even remember where it was in the game where he faked himself out on his own. He looked like he faked himself out on his own pump fake and hit mm-hmm. and the football hit his balls, hit him in the cup. But at the end of the game, it's like, that's a mistake that just really can't be made. And again, like, that's just, it was a bad mistake in decision-making at the end of the day. It's not about skill with Goff. He showed you that he still has plenty of talent there to do some of these things, but it's the decision-making that still kills him. And it killed him again here late in the game, just like it did last week, just like it's done in other weeks. And it's becoming a bit of a broken record, so I don't want to spend too much time on it because we know that Jared Goff was not the better quarterback in this game at all. But I'll give him some credit that there was some progress there. He did not look as bad as the Bengals game.
No, there were definitely signs of improvement. Like some of the throws that he did make to Khalif Raymond. There was one throw to TJ Hockenson that was a big gain that, you know, and there's another thing that Mark Sanchez, for as bad as he was on the broadcast, large in part, there was one comment that he made about Goff making a sprinkler read, essentially scanning from the right side of the field all the way to the left side of the field.
Yeah. That was the favorite thing on the Teleraster this Sunday.
Yeah. So, you know, there were signs of Jared Goff making, no pun intended, you know, progression from last week to this week, but, you know, doing things like making it through his progressions and things like that. And I guess the reason why it's a knock on Goff on that throw and the interception is because he's throwing it into the middle of the field. It would be really easy at the down and distance where they were. It's really easy for Jared Goff to throw that ball through the back of the end zone. It's really easy for Jared Goff to, you know, throw it, you know, out to the sideline and to make it look like, you know, not intentional grounding. I think that Goff had an opportunity to throw that ball away without it being intentional grounding. But, you know, that's another thing, is just Jared Goff's maneuverability and his pocket awareness. It's questionable. And, you know, when he makes throws like that into the middle of the field where a lot of bad stuff can happen, because that's where your defenders are, that, you know, it was backbreaking. That's the beginning of the fourth quarter and the Lions are down six.
I remember at the start of the year, Tom Brady, there was like a quote from Tom Brady about like, that's how offenses have evolved, but it's really not fair for quarterbacks to really just force it over the middle, because you're just going to put your receivers in very threatening positions to get hit hard.
Yeah. Like, there's just not a lot of good that comes from it, right?
No. And that's unfortunate.
Bad things to happen. Yeah.
And aside from some deep shots to Khalif Raymond, that was a lot of Lions offense. That and screen passes. The one thing I will say, that draw play that I hate on third down actually worked this week.
And it worked, right?
I don't understand.
Was it third and 11?
I think it was like third and 15. I'd have to go back and look. It doesn't matter.
It was a distance, and it was one of those calls where as soon as you see Swift get the handoff, you're like, all right, here comes Jack Fox. Like, but
I mean, yeah. on the other side of it, there wasn't much going on besides Raymond and Swift for the receiving. Like Hockenson got 48 yards, but you know, once again, it's Hockenson that we know and love, you know, catches and gets hit, or again, over the middle, it catches and falls down, but that's hard to do anything else when you have to catch it over the middle. But I mean, nobody else really got involved. Darren Fells had a pass. Kadarrell Hodge had a reception, but I didn't even think Amon-Ra St. Brown showed up in the stat sheet. Geronimo Allison empty. Like those are your only two options out there. It's limited. And as soon as the Rams dialed in and realized how limited it was kind of game over.
I mean, Bobby Price was your fourth leading receiver. The cornerback or the safety converted to cornerback converted to wide receiver.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the defense here? Or should we do it on the other side? Cause like there were some bright spots on the defense. I might as well talk about it right now. Like I thought AJ Park, like once again, the Lions have some interesting diamonds in the rough with AJ Parker and Jerry Jacobs.
Jerry Jacobs, I thought looked good in coverage again this game. I'll be interested to see what, you know, Pro Football Focus grades him out, because
he can't do well because he's given an impossible task though to cover Cooper Kupp. I need to impress people on like how good Cooper Kupp's been this year with that Stafford connection. Like I think Rams Wire, he's said this was a couple of weeks ago, he's on pace for 131 catches, 1,850 yards, 20 touchdowns, which like that's going to like that's Randy Moss type projections.
Yeah. I mean, right now I saw a stat at the end of the game where it was like through the first seven games, he has more yards and touchdowns than anybody in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's where it was with the only other player with at least 600 yards receiving and seven touchdown catches through week six was Randy Moss in 07.
Yeah.
Like, but that's who AJ Parker has to guard. And as soon as he went out and Daryl Worley came in, what happened? The Rams Stafford realized what he could do, and he targeted Cooper Kupp, and Worley could not keep pace with him.
Yeah.
But that's what Parker was like holding back that entire game.
And there's also some Sean McVay wizardry in there too, in terms of what he's able to scheme up, like that rub route that, you know, Cooper Kupp just has to take, you know, two steps off a slant and catch a football that's wide open. Because of, you know, what the wide receiver to the inside of him is able to do on that pick play. Mm-hmm. It's, that's one of the things that I think Matthew Stafford has kind of unlocked about this offense, right? Because you see what Jared Goff's limitations are. And I understand the whole chicken and the egg argument with Jared Goff about like, well, if he doesn't have the receivers, then how can we expect him to perform? Cooper Kupp wasn't doing this when Jared Goff was in town.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. But it's also a very different Rams defense too. Like they changed it when Stafford came in. It stopped being like, they still have some of the play action, but it's largely vertical now because they know what they have with Stafford.
Yeah. I mean, they can take more chances. They can, they can take more chances. They can, you know, do some different things on offense when it comes to, because I mean, you want to talk about somebody who has, you know, incredible pocket awareness, somebody who does have, you know, some mobility in order to, you know, move the play to the left or move the play to the right on play action or any of that stuff. Like, yeah, you know, Matthew Stafford can do that. He can make the change in the arm angle throws. And that's something, again, Sanchez highlighted on the, you know, on the telecast.
Yeah, I can tell Lions angle, fans
making were... Rich Gannon throws. Yeah. And Lions fans were getting sick of it. I only got upset when he came for wrestling.
Yeah, I knew you would. I knew you would. Where he's like that. That's the other thing. Like some of the play calling, like I don't know what's in Leonard Floyd's head, but that guy's got to chill. You see, who was that? Who he grabbed some like offensive lineman by like the chin strap and was like strangling him, and it didn't get called.
Well, Leonard Floyd got away with on the flag that they had where they were going to call holding. Leonard Floyd tried to trip Jared Goff, and that is a penalty.
Yeah.
And like that didn't get called either. So it was one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, Jared Goff was able to lobby the refs and get out of that whole. No, it should have been a penalty on Leonard.
No, Leonard Floyd was dirty this game. I'm sorry. On the Lions side of it, like Julian, you talked about how good Stafford was in this game, but like you at least got what I think the Lions got four passes defended in this game. Tracy Walker, Jerry Jacobs, Parker, and Julian Okwara, who, by the way, was a menace getting in there.
Yeah, I mean, that guy,
he overshot Stafford, but thankfully, I think he tripped up Stafford enough that did turn into a sack, you know, picked up by Charles Harris to finish it. But there, Julian Okwara is still progressing fairly well.
Yeah.
So the story for the Lions still remains that the defense is young and is being asked against these massive, high powered offenses to stop these things.
Yeah, I love that play design too on the Okwara sack, because they had pressure up the middle in the A gaps, and they stunted Okwara inside, and he was just, you know, left completely alone, had a free pass on Stafford. Stafford did trip, and it wasn't the best tackle attempt, but Okwara did enough to get him down. And you have to love what Okwara has been able to do. I mean, last week he had a sack, this week he had a sack. When he's out there, he's being disruptive. He's you know, racking up pressures. That's a guy that, those are the young guys, right, Chris? Like that
yeah,
that,
but I mean, even from the veteran, right? I thought Alex Anzalone had a pretty good game too. Yeah. He was bringing a lot of pressure up the middle, and just Stafford was getting it away just a step, or like Anzalone was always just a step slow there, but still he was at least getting pressure and forcing Stafford to at least get it out quick.
Yeah. Yeah. And so yeah, my last point about Okwara is, like, that's the stuff that we were hoping to be able to see from guys like Okuda and Julian's brother Romeo and Ifeatu Melifonwu. Like, seeing those young guys play, even in these hard, tough losses, getting them a chance to get some experience and show what they can do and flash a little bit. Julian Okwara is starting to pick that up, and he's starting to build on that game by game. So, and what about, I mean, I know tackles are the worst stat to right. to you know, judge a player's performance off of, but Jalen Reeves-Maybin just all into it, had nine total sacks and five solo sacks.
Well, not just that, but like Daryl, like they didn't let Daryl Henderson do anything on the ground. He had 15, he tried to carry the ball 15 times, only got 45 yards. Yeah. Like Sony Michel was stopped. Stafford, I think, tried to run it a couple times, got really nothing with it. Like they once again stopped on the ground. And I know, I feel like we're talking way too positively right now, finding way too much the bright side, because I don't think that these moral victories really count for much anymore, unless, again, you take the view that I have, and that this season is pretty much like you're just seeing what you have. Like, right. It sucks to say that about a season. It sucks to say you have to throw away the year, but like the Lions were 0-6 coming into this game. They're now 0-7, and the win would have got you some great moral victory, and hopefully at some point they'll put one on the shelf. But I mean, this was the Rams. This is the Los Angeles Rams, who look like they're going to be going at least to the I don't know if they'll go to the NFC Championship, but they'll at least go to the divisional round. Like, I don't know what's really, and they've got to keep pace with the Cardinals to make sure they don't fall into a wild card. But this was a team that I don't think any of us really gave a shot for the Lions. And I don't want to hear people, and I don't think we should have given them a shot either. I spent a weekend with some national guys saying, oh, the Lions might be really sneaky. And I guess they're right. But they're right just because they didn't really have much, but they didn't have much to like go on there. The Lions hadn't really shown you any reason to trust them in this game.
And I think, Chris, what I am so optimistic about is, like, a lot of this game goes credited to Dan Campbell. Like, without those play calls, without the fake punts, without the onside kick.
He came out of the, like, you want to talk about kneecaps. He came out and punched the kneecaps right. Like, he didn't bite the kneecaps. He punched them in the kneecaps right away. You keep the opposing quarterback off the field for 10 minutes to start a game.
Yeah.
And get what, 10 points out of it.
Right. That's the guy that I really feel for though, right now. Like, I know I feel for those guys in the locker room, and I'm sure Dan Campbell will probably say as much as well, but I feel for Dan Campbell, man. Like, he couldn't have done anything more from the sidelines to put this team in position to win. And I know, Chris, I think that people might say that we're being too optimistic about, you know, the Lions losing another game by two scores, but they were 16.5 point dogs.
Yeah. And again, they had a shot at that end zone to take the lead late in the game. Now, obviously, that ball goes back into Stafford's hand, and I think he still wins the game. But at the very least, you're still hanging tough at the end. But like, I thought, and we got to get out of here, we got to take a break. But like, I thought, as you say, he pitched a perfect game. He knew exactly when to pull it back. He knew exactly when to not go on fourth down and when to go on fourth down. And guess what? The fourth down try actually worked, because he actually like gave good the play calling on those fourth to convert fourth down actually like looked good this week.
Yeah. Who knew that Jack Fox had an arm like that?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Jack Fox has a better passer rating in this game than Jared Goff. The trickeration was phenomenal. I don't think we're going to see much of that, but still it gives you, it at least lets you know they're like thinking outside the box, which is what I want from a football team. Innovation wins.
Yeah.
But let's take a quick break. We'll talk a little bit about Stafford in this game, because I feel like this hopefully is the end of a narrative, but we'll see about that. We'll also talk on some of the things that maybe not as bright for the Lions and just other notes we have from the game and where the Lions just really go from here. Again, 0-7, you got the Eagles coming up, which might be winnable, but I mean, who knows with this team at this point. We'll be right back on the Pride of Detroit PODcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And welcome back to the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Reactions continue from Lions and Rams as Lions go back and forth. This was the first game where the Lions like had a lead and like did something with it.
It was the first time this season, Chris, that they had the lead and took an offensive snap.
Yep. Yeah.
Improvement. Progress.
Progress. Huzzah. The problem is the guy on the other side is Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. He's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I hate to do this because like, I don't know. I saw some people in the past week trying to shame Lions fans for rooting for Stafford. I don't buy into that at all. But at the same time, like, I think after this game, I know that he's off doing much better things over there and we have to deal with Jared Goff, but I'm kind of done. I'm good. I'm good without the love fest now. Like, he's fantastic over there, but I concern myself with the Lions at the end of the day.
I think this is an opportunity for everybody to kind of turn the page in a sense that, I mean, maybe it's an opportunity for Jared Goff to turn the page. Large in part, Chris, I agree with you. I know neither of us like to police fandom. And how could we, when we have somebody like, you know, Jeremy on the podcast who wants to talk about Matthew Stafford all the time, but, you know, it was warranted obviously this week because I mean, they're playing the Rams. It is such a big game. But at this point, like, I'm really not interested in talking Matthew Stafford or hearing about Matthew Stafford until the playoffs come around.
The thing is that I think the difference between the two, because I was wondering why Jared Goff and Sean McVay was the bigger storyline nationally. And it's simple because those two had an acrimonious breakup when Goff went to Detroit because he was unwanted in LA and McVay had said some things. And he was talking this week about how he probably shouldn't have said some of the things that he said. And that relation had fallen apart. When Stafford left Detroit, I thought everyone was on the same page. This was a fine breakup. We all understood what was going on. The team was rebuilding. Stafford's legacy was on the line. He didn't want to stick around for a rebuild. And the Lions got a lot of assets for shipping him to Los Angeles. Like, I thought it's fine.
Yeah.
So I understand, like, it still sucks. on a personal level, seeing him doing great things over there. And he did a lot of those great things against the Lions, 334 yards in this game. But I'm not going to live or die on it. I'm not going to feel just torn up that it's like, I don't even feel like this is like somehow saying goodbye or something. It's just the quirk of it. The Lions had the NFC West this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing with Matthew Stafford is, like you said, everybody was on the same page and they were cool with trading Matthew Stafford because this was the sign of a complete rebuild. But it always comes back to my point that everybody is cool with the rebuild in the offseason. I saw an awful yep. lot of I saw an awful lot of pining for Matthew Stafford this week of the what ifs of, oh man, Dan Campbell's just the kind of coach that Matthew Stafford would have loved to play for, and who knows where the Lions would be this season if they had Matthew Stafford. Who knows? None of us will know.
None of us will know. And yeah, I think that's a great way to put it too, is like everyone's cool with the rebuild in the off season. Cause even then the fire has been getting hotter for like, I'll give it to Jeremy. He called it because Chris Carter was showing his ass out there this week about yelling about Dan Campbell. Look, Dan Campbell can't be a straight shooter if you then want him to pull a punch when asked about Jared Goff, and even still doing it in the nicest of ways. And you think he's throwing him under the bus, dude, we all see what Jared Goff's doing out there. Like, don't BS. Like you, like the coach has an obligation to his players, but he also has to do some PR towards the fans and the media.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes like fans believe that the media and like, we're all there just to muck things up and pick around, but the alternative is so much worse. Just doing just straight flack PR for yeah. Lions.com or whatever. Like it, you need those kind of those, I won't say adversarial voices, but I'm allowed to call a spade too and ask why that spade is a spade.
Yeah. That's something that I think as a fan base, I think even as a site, I think all of us on staff have really appreciated the authenticity and the, you know, just the transparency with Dan Campbell as a person and the way that he approaches the way that he approaches the team, the way he approaches football. And there's no way that he can pull that punch, Chris. I totally agree with you, because then some of the other things start to, then you can start to poke some other holes through Dan Campbell. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we talked, you know, so much about Dan Campbell in the first segment about, you know, just the cojones that he had on him to make the play calls that he did in this game to give the Lions a chance. And the Lions still end up coming up short, right? They still end up losing by 9 points. They have one of their most winnable games on the slate this season, next week, Halloween, playing the Philadelphia Eagles, the listless Philadelphia Eagles. Can the Lions get it done? Or is there going to be a hangover from this game? Because it seems like there was a hangover from that Vikings game, right?
Right. The problem is that I think the hangover, the difference in the hangover is that the Bengals, as we are learning, are a pretty well put together team, all things said and done, especially on offense.
They are quite good.
They are quite good, as we've learned, as they just smoked the Ravens worse than they smoked. You know what? Was it closer? What was it? 34-11, 41-17. That's a difference of what I can't do math in my head. You're the teacher.
No, not the math teacher, but we're splitting hairs. I think yeah. that the way that the Bengals went into Baltimore and punked them, yeah, they're a good football team. But I see a potential there, right? I see a potential for
no. I
for
guess my point is that my point was that the Bengals, as we're learning, are a good team with a fantastic high flying offense. You can't say that about Philadelphia.
You cannot say that about Philadelphia. It's a very good point.
Yeah. I don't want to, I'll save some of that for the next segment. Cause looking ahead, but I don't know what to make. I think the Lions are better tuned to beat someone like Philadelphia. I don't think there's such thing as hangover for this kind of game, because it was just a lot of fighting hard. I know Dan, and even the press conference, I'm getting some of the quotes out of the press conference right now. Like Dan Campbell, he's saying it's frustrating. They're aggressive and it's still not enough. He thinks they made a lot of he's made too many mistakes out there. And there was a fourth down failure. I just praised him about how I thought for him to see that he's still kind of going on himself about that when we just said it last segment, I thought he was fine on fourth down in this game. I thought he made right decisions, a lot of fourth down. And there was just one fourth down or so that just didn't work out that well. It's rough, man. It's hard to get a win when you are like this. And the team just keeps getting more and more banged up too. Like again, AJ Parker went out, and what do you have to turn to? Darryl Worley. Darryl Worley can't keep pace with someone like Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. I mean, do we have any, we don't have any qualms about Dan Campbell going for it on fourth and one from the Rams 18 yard line, Lions down 1 point. We don't have any problems with that, do we? I don't think I do.
No, I don't, because like the math says it works most of the time. Like, and I know there is this, like the fourth down calling has been the big story, the big debate point for a lot of sports talk this season. Because I think more and more it's winning over that guys are going for it more on fourth down. And yeah, sometimes you leave points on the field when that happens, but it's a roll of the dice every time. And if the odds are still good, then I'm still taking those odds.
Yeah. And at that point too, that was one of the longer drives that the Lions had in the game. I mean, that was over 6 minute drive. The only drive that they had longer than that was, no surprise, the Jared Goff interception to TJ Hockenson. So like that, those two drives, right, are emblematic of why the Rams end up winning this game by 9 points, because they come away with 0 points in the red zone, both trips. And I'm totally cool with the call. It's just, I thought it was unfortunate that it was DeAndre Swift and not Jamal Williams, but yeah.
I know it's trendy to think that like fans are always cool with fourth downs, but like I saw plenty of fans who were like, why didn't you just take the 3 points there? But again, like I'd rather just keep the drive going, man, no matter what.
It was clear that Dan Campbell
wasn't going to be enough at the end of the day.
He was in Los Angeles to win that football game.
Yeah. He wanted to just go big coyones on this. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what else can we say about this game?
Can we say something about the season so far?
Is it wearing on you, or where are you at on it?
Yeah, it's not wearing on me as much as I think like an 0-7 start would normally. But I think a lot of that is due in credit to this coaching staff. And it was something that we talked about all offseason long. You know, you talked about it at great length, Chris, talking about, you know, all these former players and this kind of new experiment that was going on here in Detroit. And I'm still excited to like watch Lions games each week in a way that I was not interested in watching Lions games for the past three seasons.
Let me just put it this. Yeah. Let me put it this way. I like using the word Sisyphean.
Okay.
Because I love mythology, and I love the idea of Sisyphus rolling that boulder up the hill, and he's almost got it up there and it just rolls right back down. I love that imagery. The Lions are Sisyphean, and I've used that before in other seasons. But I feel like this Sisyphean is at least, it hasn't worn me out yet. I'm still watching them try to roll that boulder up the hill, because I still, maybe in its kayfabe that's got me, but I still feel like they have a chance to get that boulder up that hill this year.
That's a great way of describing it.
Maybe that boulder doesn't matter too much for just the one solitary win, but man, after seven of these, I will take it.
Yeah, I'm there too. Like I'll keep pushing that damn boulder because I want to do it for Dan Campbell. Like he makes it. I mean, today, like, was today entertaining? At the end of the day,
yes.
This was an entertaining football game to watch.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I don't have a reason to doubt the coaching staff. I haven't seen those cracks yet that, you know, we were worried about it, right? That it's always, and we talked about it, how the fans are on board with a rebuild in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
And players are probably on board with, you know, a positive vibe from the coaching staff in the off season. But that hasn't, but after seven times, your heart's getting ripped out. I still haven't seen the cracks on it. And even yeah. and even after this week where, you know, someone like Chris Carter is going on there and thinking that him saying something about Jared Goff is going to have a deleterious effect on Jared Goff and or that locker room. And it, I don't think it's happened. Jared Goff, I thought, played better this game. I don't think he played great, but like compared to what he was doing in the Bengals game, he cleaned it up.
Yeah, I think Jared Goff responded well in this game. You know, he showed up and he played. He made a couple of crucial errors, but that's kind of who we have come to understand who Jared Goff is.
Yeah, and like the Lions are playing just big monsters each week. Like you
they're
run
playing
into the
Rams.
They're playing the Rams. Like Penei Sewell is probably mixed on his PFF grade here, but he had to stand up to Aaron Donald quite literally at one point, jawing off with him. But like,
yeah, dude, I don't know if you want to get into a, I don't know if you want to get into a shoving match with Aaron Donald. I don't care how big you are.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah. It's rough, man, but it's at this point, I haven't thrown in a towel on anything yet. There are points in the Patricia years where it's like, I'm throwing in towels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know each loss, it becomes harder and harder to sell more and more fans on that. But you know what I would also say? Once you get to that off season again, as long as you've got the rest of this team still on your side, it won't matter. Because we know this season is rough as hell. And we know that as long as the players keep buying in, that you're going to get to the draft and you're going to start doing what you need to build. And you're going to have to still deal with Jared Goff's sizable contract, even though it's restructured. But, you know, you got Jamie Collins off your roster here. You've got some, you're working out what you have with your cap. I wrote it 7 weeks ago, and I have to keep going back to it. Dan Campbell's going to lose a lot of bleeping football games. And unfortunately, it's come in probably the worst way I've ever thought I could imagine it, where it's just this guy is bleeding on the field, putting his team in the best place he can, and it's still just not enough. And that's the definition of Sisyphean, and it hurts. It hurts. But I'm not giving up on it yet. Just as someone who is asked to be both a fan and someone to commentate on the team. Like it's, but yeah.
Very well said.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here. I'm going to go solo for the final segment. We're going to get Ryan out of here and talk about a few more things about where the rest of the season is going to go. And close the casket on this game. Cause I think that's probably the best way to do this because this one's rough, man. This one's rough just because like you had the best crack at the monster you could.
You know, we talked about buried alive matches on One Leg at a Time, our gambling podcast. If this was a casket match, Dan Campbell, his fingers are in between the lid and the casket. Dan Campbell's not giving up on this team. And that's
look what happens. Jeremy can't go on one POD cast and the wrestling talk has come back twice now.
The kids will play.
Yeah. We'll be right back on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Pride of Detroit PODcast. We're going to wrap up the show here in a few minutes. This will be a short one because obviously I'm running solo now. Ryan had to tap out. Jeremy is apparently drunk or at least manic in SoFi Stadium. As we've learned, he might have been one of the guys who was falling through the press conference doors to holler and talk about talk with Jared Goff. So we are all in our ways here this week after this game, and I'm still here kind of manning the ruins of this proud ship once called the POD cast, SS POD cast, as we sail these turbulent seas. I want to take this time because I feel like this is going to be a preview for the rest of the season. And also just notes on the rest of the season, notes on what's coming up next. Obviously we'll have a comprehensive Eagles preview with one of our friends from Bleeding Green Nation. And trust me, we've got a lot of them over at Bleeding Green Nation. And their season hasn't gone well, and they just got stomped on by the Raiders. I feel like And I don't want to jinx it because I feel like when I looked at the Bengals game, I thought that was a very winnable game at the start of the year. And obviously that turned out to be the worst loss the Lions have taken this year. But at the same time, I feel like the Eagles are a different team from the Bengals in that I feel like the Eagles are more set up. They have some of the same pitfalls as the Lions in that they've got either old veterans or very young guys and not much in between. And I feel like Jalen Hurts, the type of quarterback you can probably deal with. He's not going to be a Justin Fields out there. I mean, as Ryan said, we might end up giving him the game of his life on Halloween. But at the same time, on paper, it looks like a pretty winnable game. It's going to be a problem, though, because the Lions just, I don't know if it's going to be a burnout game for the Lions, but it's something when you leave a lot on the table like they did for the Rams. But I think the thing about this Lions team is that every week, whatever they were struggling with in a game is acknowledged. It's talked about. And not only do the coaches talk about it, but they make actual work each week to try to address it. I thought, and I know Jeremy had texted in and said that he thought this was Jared Goff's best game of the season. I think that a lot, and you know, coming off that Cincinnati Bengals game, he had to have a much better game. There were a lot of things. We saw the team abandon its aggressiveness early on. I mean, in past weeks. And part of that is that Dan Campbell said when the aggressiveness didn't work, he would go away from it. But the aggressiveness worked in this game. He went for it on fourth down. One time they might have left some points in the field, but I feel like the field goal, 3 points, wasn't going to get you enough. So you're going into the Philadelphia game. You're going to host Philadelphia at home with a crowd that might be a little antsy. And look, I don't know what they're going to do with the Chris Spielman induction. It sounds very cool. I don't know if Sheila Fortan wants to go out there again to get booed mercilessly, unless she really wants to hold on to that heel roll. I don't know what that'll do for it. I probably not much of anything. It's just a bit of a distraction, but I feel like the Lions, at least the one thing I haven't seen them do is give up a lot of what keeps them motivated. And look, it's seven straight losses. It wears on people. It does. But we had talked about negative attitudes with guys like Jamal Williams before. And I know that's been a point whenever the press talks to Lions players about the attitude of fans and talk and opinion media in Detroit about the negative attitude. And I don't hate that the negative attitude exists because I get it. But at the same time, if you have that kind of, it's easy enough to stomp that out and focus on what's in front of you and just play well. The Lions showed a lot of progress in a lot of their young guys. And it sucks when those kind of injuries start to pile up. But I feel like the team is on an upward trajectory. And it's hard to say every time when, as I said, Sisyphean things happen and the ball rolls down. In this case, it was a back-breaking interception in the end zone. We can't let Jared Goff off the hook about that. But other than that, I thought he played very well. I thought his stat line will get buoyed by all the yards after completion that was given to him from Khalif Raymond and DeAndre Swift. But he played better. And a lot of that probably comes from that he's playing his old coach. And maybe there's some revenge games elements to it, but it's now time to also prove that you can be motivated in something other than a revenge game. And I feel like the Eagles game gives you a lot of that. Even past the Eagles game, I feel like the Lions will still be competitive in several games going down the stretch here. The Steelers and Browns have both looked fairly, you know, fairly pedestrian. The Bears just got stomped on by the Buccaneers. Vikings later in the year, I don't know what happens with that. Broncos, I don't know if they're really much of a match against the Falcons, but the point is that I feel like every time we look ahead, sometimes we project what's happening that week onto what's going to happen there. And it's just, the NFL is just a wild, crazy league where a lot of things just bounce around. Again, if Jared Goff just makes a better progression read on that interception and goes somewhere else on the field and doesn't try to force it in, we could be talking about a very different game, especially then on the next drive. If Stafford either makes a mistake by forcing it in somewhere, or they just manage to get the stop, or they just decide they're going to bring the house and they're not as demotivated after Jared Goff throws that interception away. It's, you're dealing with chaos theory every game in the NFL, and you're trying to say, and then you're multiplying that by another chaos theory, looking into those games coming down the line. For the Lions, it's going to be a lot of health. Again, like AJ Parker had to get looked at. If they're already fairly banged up, that hopefully you'll get, you know, Taylor Decker back here soon. And because Matt Nelson got bullied around quite a bit. He was the one who almost got his head taken off by Leonard Floyd. But again, I feel that this year in particular, we've gone back and forth on it about what this year means. And just at the end of the day, you just have to have some patience. And I know it sucks. You're giving up a year of your life waiting for a team to give you dividends. And I never liked the idea of trust the process at the end of the day. But this was the hand that the Lions were dealt. And at some point you just realize this is what you have. And you have to just roll with the punches that are coming. And a lot of that's going to be on Dan Campbell too. And we make a big deal out of Dan Campbell. We really do. We really do, just because, for better or worse, he's become the face of this organization right now. For all he talks, for how he deals. And by the way, like, I love one of the cool things about Dan Campbell we saw is that, you know, I thought Jerry Jacobs played well, and then he got burned on a play. And then, you know, Dan Campbell was on his face on the sideline, not in a bad way but in his face, just talking with him, dealing with him one-on-one. You don't usually see that in your head coach. And again, I can talk about all the reasons why I feel like Dan Campbell is a different experiment, and it might not be a great experiment, you know, 5 years down the road, whatever, but he's a different experiment in that he's a head coach who's going to get in your face like that. For a guy like Jerry Jacobs, a bleeping undrafted rookie, I might be getting it confused with someone else, excuse me. But either way, Jerry Jacobs, not exactly like, he's not your quarterback. You're not going to have that one-on-one, you know, relationship usually, as you see with other coaches, but like he doesn't mind micromanaging. He reminds me of my grandfather ran a restaurant, and he reminds me of certain restaurant owners who were also cooks, like a guy I knew up in Vancouver who ran a restaurant, who would walk the floor and, like, you know, talk to you about, like, you know, point out, it's like, oh, that chutney goes well with this dish. It's a little bit above and beyond, but it's important. It's important because it makes you feel like you're part of, like, you know, you come from, if you have any kind of background in, say, artistic work, you understand that critique helps you. It sharpens your steel. It sharpens you and gets you better. It doesn't always put you down, but man, like, I'm just impressed about it. And I know it feels like I'm beating a drum saying how impressed I am. And I feel, I know that it's hard to keep saying that when the team is 0-7, but right now, like, that's what's going to keep you motivated. That's what's going to keep you moving forward. And that's what is going to keep you at least looking into Philadelphia and say, that can't be a trip up game. You need to actually bring a win home. And I feel like they can. I don't think this team's going to go 0-17. I don't. They're in too many close games to really say they're going to be 0-17. And even then, it takes a lot of work to go winless in the NFL. And they're going to pick some up. And I guess the question is once they pick one up, how do you then feel as a fan? Do you think one or two wins is enough for you to feel good about this year, and then you're ready to start thinking about draft position? Or do you just need to see more? Like, where are you? Because once you get one win, you want more. We'll pick this up later in the week. I know Jeremy might record something from LA where we will have, first bite with the Eagles coverage here later this week. Me and Ryan got smoked in one leg at a time, but we still keep doing the gambling podcast. I hope you guys are listening to that because we're having fun with that. We've been doing a lot with this podcast. And I feel like we're almost that halfway point. We're going to have the Eagles game and then we're going to have a bye week. So it's not quite the halfway point, but it's a good reflection point for what's been going on with the Lions so far this year. So we'll see what happens. Until that time, I'm Chris Perfett at Chris Perfett on Twitter. Thanks everyone who's been listening and reading Pride of Detroit and listening to the Pride of Detroit POD cast. As always, we will see you Starside.